seriousness, what an awesome opportunity we have as a church. And that's what we're actually receiving a bless offering today, because we're sending $15,000 with these guys to bless the people of DR. And so part of that is going towards the medical part of the trip, and the other part of that's going towards the construction part of the trip with a new roof that we're putting on a church while we're there and some other construction work that we're doing. And so we're going to raise that today. That's what God's going to do. And you may wonder how we're going to raise it, and this is my silent moment where I'm going to, it's you. That's how we're going to do it, right? So already we've raised $12,000 towards this $30,000 goal. So $15,000 is going to go to the Dominican Republic. The other $15,000 is going to what we call Serve Saturday. So here in a few weeks in November, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, we do a food drive, and we also send people to the Mid Rivers Mall and work at Kids Against Hunger, and they put together food prep kits for this missions organization that is in Africa. And so we put together these food prep kits that cost funds. And also our food drive also costs funds. Today, you can grab a box on your way out of here. Pastor Paul mentioned that earlier. You can grab one of those boxes. We also supply a turkey for each one of those families. And so there's cost involved in that. So $15,000 goes to Serve Saturday. $15,000 goes to the Dominican Republic. Really quick math, that's $30,000, and we're $12,000 towards our goal, which is awesome, so only $18,000 left, and you're wondering how we're going to do that. We're all going to do it together. What's great about Grace River is there is no sugar daddy in this crowd, okay? So historically as a church, what we do, he just said that? Yeah, I just did. So historically as a church, we don't just see one person that gives and makes that happen. We don't have the federal government doesn't bail us out, or our state or local government. We just give towards this. And yes, the goal is $30,000, but you know what the number one goal is? For me, it's 100%. That's 100% of everybody doing something. If you're a middle school student, a high school student, I'd love to see you give $10 towards this. If you're if you're like, man, God hasn't blessed me with much, give $100 or give $20. If God's blessed you a lot, give $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars or $10,000. I don't know. Whatever it is God's laid on your heart, would you give it? And the point of the bless offering, if God's blessed you with a lot, give a lot. If God's blessed you with a little, give a little. And so I would just say, all of us doing something, that's the goal. And so Sarah and I gave last night to this because I wanted to be able to stand on stage and say, hey, I've given to this. And so I want you to give to it as well. And if you're a little grumpy about me talking about money, here's what I want to tell you. Get over it, because we're giving it all away. Like, every dime of this is being pushed out of the four walls of this place and is going to make a difference in the world. So if you're grumpy, you should pray and then get over yourself, and then it's going to be awesome. And if you're offended, you should find another church. All right, so all that to say, in the nicest way possible. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so, wow, you're coming out fiery with that caffeine today. So, big idea today is this, is that Jesus changed the world with one table, and so can we. One table at a time, we can see God change the world around us. And it's interesting, because we're going to look at Luke's gospel today. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Which I love that about Jesus, because it just shows you Jesus is a foodie. It's pretty amazing, right? And so Jesus loved to eat. And really, there are 10 different specific stories in the Bible of Jesus having meals with people. And today we're going to look at one of those. It's the story of Jesus and a guy named Zacchaeus. His friends probably called him Zac, although he didn't have very many friends because he was a tax collector. And so, but Jesus changed the world one table, one meal at a time, and so can we. Now, the reality is, I think every single one of us want to change the world. Like, there's not a single person in the room, if we were to have a one-on-one conversation, have a cup of coffee, there's not a single person, if I was to ask you, hey, are you looking to make a difference? Nobody's saying, no, I don't want to make a difference. I'd rather just do nothing, right? Like, every single one of us instinctively wants to make our life count for something. And I think sometimes we think, man, I want to change the world. Well, how do I actually change the world? Well, it starts with this. It starts with where you're currently at. You know, you can turn the news on and you can see problems all over our globe, and you can go, dude, how can we fix that? And yes, there are brilliant people that are trying to solve those problems, trying to come up with solutions, and there's all that happening. But you know this, if you're going to change the world, you know where it starts? It starts where your feet are currently planted. It starts with where you are. If you want to make a difference in the world, it starts with the people that are right there in front of you. And so that's the point. We are in week 3 of this 5-week sermon series called Bless. And we're really talking about how it is that you and I can change the world around us. and how we can bless people. And what I love about this sermon series is no matter where you're at on the spiritual journey, there's something for you in this message. But the first 2 weeks we talked about this, it's an acrostic, okay? And so it starts with the B, which is begin with prayer. If you want to bless the world, change the world around you, it's going to require you talking to God about people before you talk to people about God. So this is an important step that we all need to take as going, okay, I need to talk to my creator about my purpose. I need to talk to my creator about the people that are in my world that I can help affect, that I can help change lives in. We talked about a Francis list, which is a list of people in your life that you could make some change in, some people that you could help encourage. And I encourage everybody to have a list of 3 to 5 people you're praying for every single day, but it begins with prayer. And you may wonder, how do I find those 3 to 5 people? We call it a Francis list. It's friends, relatives, acquaintance, neighbors, coworkers, enemies, and strangers. If you can't find 3 to 5 people in your life based off of that Francis list, you need to make some friends, all right? So like, we all have people in our lives that could use some encouragement, that could use a blessing, that could use some help. And you and I have this great opportunity, but it starts, if I'm gonna make a difference, it starts with prayer. And then it's also gonna require me listening. Pastor Paul talked about this last week, the importance of listening to people. God's given you 2 ears and a mouth, right? And it's important that you and I are listening to people way more than we're talking. I think sometimes, especially as Christians, we love to get our 2 cents in about how it is we can change the world, right? And I think sometimes it just requires us leaning in and listening to what's going on around us. Also, I'm talking today about eating and the fact that Jesus was a foodie and we can be foodies too, and that whenever we have meals with people, it actually changes relationships. It actually lowers the gateway to someone's heart whenever you have a meal with somebody. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about serving and sharing the story of Jesus. So you serve people. That's what's amazing about this missions trip that these folks are going on. They're going to get a chance to serve people. That's what's amazing even about Serve Saturday coming up here in a few weeks. Locally, we're going to have an opportunity to serve people right here in St. Charles County. And even internationally, those that go over to the Mid Rivers Mall to make these food prep kits, you'll have an opportunity to serve people, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And when you serve others, that's when you earn the opportunity and the right to be heard. That's the last S, which is sharing your story. So how to change your world, it starts with where you're at. Now, here's the thing. Hoping to change the world is not a strategy. Like, we all hope to do that, right? We all, maybe that's in your heart that, man, I hope that my life could make a difference. But I'm telling you something. Hope is not a strategy. The mission of Grace River Church is what? Not hoping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. We are helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Helping people means this. It means that we're not doing that passively. Like, we're not, oh man, I hope that someone meets Jesus. I hope this life is changed. I hope this marriage gets reconciled. I hope that person lays that addiction down. You know, I hope that kid grows up and really follows Jesus. No, we're not hoping. We are helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. So how do we really help people? Well, it starts with where we're currently at, but it also means that we have to be hospitable where we're at. Now, some people just naturally have the gift of hospitality. Like, it's actually amazing. Some of you in the room, I've been to your home, you've invited me over, and you have created a great space, and like, everything's decorated perfectly, it smells nice, you cooked like beef Wellington. I'm not kidding. Like, one family had me over, Ron and Jan Ruthane. I'll never forget it. It was my top 10 list of meals in my whole lifetime. If Ron and Jan ever invite you over, you should go. I'm just telling you, okay? They're going to get mad at me because, like, you just invited everybody? Okay, so, but, like, they have the gift, both of them, of hospitality. They know how to roll the red carpet out. Now, I don't have the gift of hospitality. And maybe that's you too. Like, you're like, I don't really like people that much. I like people, okay? I'm just not very good at thinking about the drink that you want at the table and, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just not, I'll get the disposable stuff because it's easier because I don't want to wash it later. You know, like, I'm like that, right? And I can cook and stuff. I'm just not good. Hospitality is not my number one gifting. And by the way, neither is generosity. So, like, whenever I talk about the bless offering, like, you're just like, oh, he must naturally be able to just give. That must be really easy for him to go to the app and, you know, be able to just give like that. And actually, to be honest with you, it's not my natural gifting. Like, it's something that I even wrestle with God with myself, right? And evangelism is also not just an easy thing for me, which is like sharing my faith. That's also not naturally just easy for me. But just because these things aren't naturally easy for us doesn't mean that we are dismissed from doing them, right? So we still have a responsibility to be hospitable. The author of Hebrews talks about this. Before I jump into Luke 19, the author of Hebrews talks about hospitality and actually defines it pretty well. Hebrews 13 verses 1 through 2 says this: keep on loving each other, brothers and sisters. He's talking about the household of God. He's not just talking about your brother and sister that you actually are related to that's actually hard to get along with. That's not, and I don't want to get in a sibling fight today, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But I'm talking about, you ever been to a church where people refer to each other as brother and sister? We don't do that here because it's a little weird. But I used to go to a church and like one of the first churches I ever attended, it was like Brother Fred. And it was at church, but like his friends outside of church would just call him Fred. I was like, Brother Fred, you know, Sister Sally, you know, like, oh, Sister Sally. I just made that up. I don't know. But everybody was a brother or a sister. And it's actually a biblical concept. This is where it comes from. The idea of greeting each other or treating each other like brothers and sisters in Christ, right? I'm glad that we don't do that here. In the Bible, they also greet each other with a holy kiss. I also think that would be weird. So we don't practice that here either. We do hug. Pastor Paul loves a hug, by the way. He's a big hugger. He gets mad when I mention it. He's not a hugger. So I asked him one day for context. I asked him one day. Pastor Paul pastored in Michigan for like 20 years. He started a church there. And then we got like the free agent fantasy football pickup of the year or the decade was Pastor Paul. And I asked him one day after being here for about 6 months, what's different about Grace River as opposed to the church that you pastored in Michigan? And he goes, you guys hug a lot. And I'm kind of sick of it. Anyway, so hug him. He loves that. Verse 2, it says this. Don't forget, this is the hospitality piece. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some have done this, and while they're doing it, they've entertained angels without even realizing it. Now, it's one thing for me to show hospitality to somebody that I know, to somebody that I like, to somebody that's like me, but it's a whole different thing to show hospitality to somebody that's different than me or somebody that's a stranger. But this is actually what the Word of God says to do. Do you know that you can be hospitable even if it's not your house? That you can be hospitable even if, you know, like here at Grace River, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is hospitality. Like I want people, the moment they pull into our parking lot, to feel like they matter to us and they matter to God. It's in different order. They matter to God and they matter to us, right? Like, but all that to say, I want people to feel that level of hospitality here at Grace River, but I also want you representing Jesus everywhere you go with that level of hospitality. Webster's Dictionary defines hospitality as this: it's the friendly reception of guests or strangers. And if you want to interject the Bible into this, Jesus' definition would be this: turning strangers into friends. Turning strangers into, and you realize that's how we all started, like all of us in the room? Like in the room, we're friends, and if we're not, don't tell me. You know, I'm better if we just stay with for friends, you know? But we all at one point, we're strangers. We didn't know each other. And what did we do? Here's what we did. We built a relationship. How are relationships built? This is fascinating. You may want to write this down. Relationships are built with talking and listening and repeating that cycle over and over and over again. It's like your washer and dryer. It's like that. There's something about washers and dryers that just kind of fascinate me. Like every week we got to wash our clothes. I hope you're washing your clothes, right? We wash our clothes and then we dry our clothes. And then some of us just leave our clothes in the laundry basket, right? Some of us are organized. Some of us fold them, put them away, right? But it's a cycle, and that's what makes friendship happen. But at the core of the cycle of friendship, at the very core of that, it requires hospitality. It requires turning. It's this heart that says, I want to turn my coworkers that feel like strangers into friends. I want to turn my neighbors who share a road with me who feel like strangers into friends. It's taking people that are acquaintances, like that Francis list that we talked about. How can I take someone that is a stranger and turn them into friend? If I do that, I'll change the world. That's the third thing, is in order to do that, you've got to use your table. You got to use your table, or in this case, in this story, even using their table. That's what Jesus did. What's interesting about Jesus' level of hospitality, Jesus didn't have a home to invite people to, yet he was hospitable. During Jesus' three-year ministry that's recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was homeless, yet he showed great hospitality to everyone around him. Let's look at this. Luke 19, we'll start in verse 1. Jesus entered into Jericho, and he made his way through this town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Now, this is not uncommon for a tax collector to be rich. In fact, most of them were wealthy because they were Jewish men working for the Roman government, ripping off Jewish people. So this guy was not liked. I think that's important to understand. Tax collectors of this day were enemies of most people. They were not favorable people. So as a result of that, Zacchaeus would have had great wealth, but not very many friends to have dinner with. In fact, the people that Zacchaeus would have been hanging out with were just other sinners just like him, other people that were broken just like him, other people that were tax collectors or drug dealers or people that sold themselves. Like, this is the people that Zacchaeus would have been hanging out with. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think it's all flowery, like everything must just be happy, everybody must be smiling, everybody must really have their lives put together. No. There's a lot of brokenness in this book. And so verse 3 speaks to his brokenness because he tried to get a look at Jesus. Jesus is coming through the town, and he's desperate, isn't he? Because like he wants to see who Jesus, he's heard about Jesus, right? He would have heard stories about the life change that was happening as a result of Jesus. And he just wants to get a glimpse at who Jesus is. And so he tried to look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So we know this about Zacchaeus. His stature would have been a shorter man. So he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed a fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. He knew the parade route. He knew where Jesus was going to go. He climbs up a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Now, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. This is wild. He calls Zacchaeus. It's personal. He doesn't say, hey, you. He doesn't say, hey, sinner. He doesn't say, troublemaker. Hey, loser. Like, some of you came to church today and you're shocked the building didn't burn down, right? And you hear a story like Zacchaeus's, and you look at it, and you peel back the layers of this, and it would have been really easy for Zacchaeus to feel like Jesus was picking on him because he was a sinner. Jesus picked him out because God said, no, he's not a sinner, he's a son. And I want you to know today, God looks at you and doesn't see a sinner. He sees a son or a daughter of the king. And that's a really important distinction as we make our way through this story. So he calls him by name. He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. How's that for hospitality? Jesus says, hey, guess what? I'm coming over for dinner tonight. Can you imagine? Like right now, if Jesus like took my place for a second and said, hey, friend, I'm coming over to your place for lunch. You would like get in the car right now. You would go vacuum. You'd fluff your pillows, right? You get everything together, throw everything in the dishwasher. You throw things in the trash. Then you'd be throwing it like, you'd be like, Jesus is coming over. I got to get this place ready for this guy. No, Jesus practices the art of hospitality and says, hey, today I'm coming over to have supper at your house. And do you know this? It wasn't a sermon that changed Zacchaeus' life. You know what it was? It was supper. I had the hardest time spelling supper as a kid, because I couldn't get super and supper nailed down. I don't know if it was dyslexia or whatever it was, but and somebody taught me the second P just means it's really super. It's better. Supper is better than super because it's dinner, right? It's like, so there's two P's, not one. That's how I remembered it. Now that's going to stick with you if you've ever struggled spelling, yeah, supper. Anyway, so supper is super, and I don't have even time to make those jokes right now, but all that to say, like, you think about what this meal did for Zacchaeus. It changed this dude's life. Because this man, who was a notorious sinner, we go on to read. I think this is important that you understand that he was not received well by everybody else. We go on to read the story. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house. Look at this. This detail is important. Luke gives extraordinary details in his gospel because he was a physician. So when Luke, when you read Luke's gospel, you have to read it through a lens of someone that was more detail-oriented. Look at what he says here. He says that he received Jesus with great excitement and joy. Like, it's like, oh man, are you kidding me? Like, this Jesus, this parade route Jesus, this Jesus who has healed the sick, has given hope and restored people, this same Jesus wants to be my friend. And look at what the crowd has to say. But the people were displeased. Here's what they said. He is gone, that's Jesus, he's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. What if you had a notorious sinner over for dinner? Wouldn't that be cool? You know, if you did that, you know what that would be like? You'd be like Jesus. Like, what if you had somebody at your house for dinner that doesn't even belong there? Like it doesn't add up on paper why that'd even be over for dinner. Wouldn't that be awesome? That you would turn a stranger into a friend. Meanwhile, while they're being grumpy, while they're being angry about who Jesus is hanging out with, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said this, I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor. And if I've cheated people out on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. What is the reaction of grace here? The reaction of grace in Zacchaeus's life is another G word, and it's generosity. Zacchaeus responds to this enormous amount of hospitality by Jesus and says, hey, this doesn't make sense that this righteous, holy man Jesus would hang out with a filthy sinner like me. And then Zacchaeus' response is, man, because of this love from this God that I do not deserve, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to pay back the people that I've wronged. I'm going to loosen the grip on my stuff and give it all away. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus answered, and he responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Then in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save those who are lost. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And he did it through hospitality. He did it through making a stranger a friend. So you and I can do the same thing. Like, we can be hospitable. And I would say this, use your table. Like, in order for this to happen, you have actually an advantage over Jesus. He didn't even have a table, but you do. Your home has a table in it. You should invite people to it. In fact, we should do the fourth thing that we need to do is we need to make every meal, not make every meal, make meals missional. That every one of us would look and go, okay, I need to live in a place where I make my meals missional. If I make my meals missional, here's the thing. You and I have 1,000 meals in a year. If you eat roughly 3 meals a day, maybe you're 2.5 or 2. I met a person the other day that eats 1 meal a day. I was like, dang, you're way better than me. Because I get hangry so easy, right? And so you need to feed me to keep me happy. But what I think about meals, 1,000 meals in a year. What if you decided today to be missional with 12 of those meals? That would be one a month. That once a month, you would invite someone over. Or once a month, you would invite somebody to go have dinner with you. So here's some excuses we make to keep our meals from being missional. First of all, we'd say, well, I don't really like having people in my home. Dude, I get it, right? I understand that. I'm in a marriage where my wife loves having people over, and I'm just like okay with it. Like, I'm good with it, you know? Like, I'm not like, I'm not anti having people over, but like, you know, I like my space, whatever, right? But like, even if you don't like having people over, just be like Jesus and invite yourself over to somebody else's place. Or check it out, go to a restaurant, right? Like, you can do this. Maybe you don't like having people, maybe you say, I don't have time. Like, man, I'm busy. And I would say, man, if you don't have time, I think you're too busy. Like, you gotta slow down. If you can't find time to do 12 missional meals a year and eat with someone and see what God would do over supper. Here's the thing, do you realize this? You could invite a friend to church. And I think you should do that. I'm not telling you not to do that. But I think more than a sermon, I think people need supper sometimes. Zacchaeus, his life was changed. And it wasn't from a worship service. It was from a meal. And I think what matters the most to people is that you would just carve the time out and invite a neighbor over, a coworker over, a friend over. Another thing I hear sometimes is, man, I have people over, but I don't know what I would even say. Like, what do I say to these people? Well, I'm actually going to give you a list. You can get your phone out and take a picture. Here's some conversation starters. If you're just socially awkward like me and you don't even know what to say, just ask questions. Because here's what I know about every single person in the room and every single person that you know or that you don't even know, that you just kind of, they're in your orbit, is we all like talking about ourselves. So you can ask questions like this. Where did you grow up? In the St. Louis question, if they're a townie, you ask them where they went to high school, right? Yeah. You know? What's your family like? It's a great question you could ask. How did you two meet? Obviously, if they're like a couple, like ask that question. What kind of work do you do? You know, like people find their identity in their jobs. What do you do for fun? Like, that's a good question to ask people. What are you dreaming about? Like, what's your hope for the future? You know, there's ways that you can be missional with your meals. I have a friend that's a church planter in Nashville, and his name's Blake, and I'm super proud of this guy. He's a single guy in Nashville, and he's starting a new church from scratch, and it takes a lot of courage to do that. But I was in Nashville with him a few months ago, and we were talking about this new church that he's starting, and I said, how are you meeting people? And he's doing some of the same stuff that I did. He joined the Chamber of Commerce. He's doing these different things to meet new people. And he said, but one of the things I'm doing right now is I go out to eat by myself sometimes at like counter service restaurants. And if someone's sitting by themselves, I'll ask if they want me to sit by them. And I was like, that's weird. But you know what he's doing? He's turning strangers into friends. And he said, I get turned out about half the time, and I do feel a little wounded, you know? But the other half the time, I meet a new friend. And sometimes I get their number, and sometimes I don't. And that's okay. And I think sometimes, what would it be like for us to step into new spaces with no ego involved and extend the grace and the goodness of God to other people? I think about Zacchaeus' life. It was changed over a meal. So I think about our own lives and how, man, God could use us. So how to change your world? We talked about these five things, and I got to get to next steps because I'm out of time. But the first thing is this, is, man, invite someone to your table. Like, just invite them over. I mean, you want to change the world. We've asked you to start praying for a list of 3 to 5 people. And, man, what if you began to pray and just invited them to the table? And also, be a host wherever you go. You can be hospitable even if it's not your home. Some of you serve on the greeting team here at church. What are you doing? You're being hospitable even though this isn't your residence. It's the house of God, and you're being hospitable. Man, being hospitable just means I'm looking out for people that need help. And the third thing that you can do is you can give to the bless offering. Man, if you want to change the world, it starts with where your feet are planted. But what I love about the reaction of Zacchaeus is he was so open-handed with his stuff once he had met Jesus. He stood in front of Jesus while everybody else was being grumpy. He stands in front of Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, because of your grace, because of your goodness, because of your generosity towards me, I'm going to be generous to others and give it all away. And one of the greatest things you could do today, I think spiritual maturity looks like this. God, I don't own any of this. It all belongs to you. Because when you realize how grace impacted your life, God's grace, his generosity, his goodness, when you realize how it's impacted your life, all of a sudden, all the stuff that you think is yours, you begin to realize this same God who gave me a new lease on life gave Zacchaeus a new lease on life. This same God that changed Zacchaeus has also changed me. And if he's changed you, then why not be generous back to him? So here's what I want you to do. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, I just wonder today what your next step is. Maybe it's inviting somebody to your table. Maybe it's being a host wherever you are. Maybe it's giving in this bless offering and recognizing that you're the owner of nothing but the manager of everything. You know, the greatest way to release greed in your life is generosity. So I don't know where you are at today as you sit here, but I wonder today what your next step is. I want to pray for you right now. God, we thank you for how you're moving in the life of our church. How so many people are moving from strangers to friends. And God, I pray today that you would use us. God, that you would use us in your infinite sense of humor as broken people, that you'd use us to point more people to your son, Jesus. More people just like Zacchaeus, because we all were like him until we met you. So God, change us from the inside out. God, I pray that you would allow every one of us to be a host wherever we go, and that you would allow every one of us to participate in this offering so we can be a blessing to St. Charles County and the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to say thanks to those who have already given to the Bless offering. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, scan that QR code in front of you and give to that. Many of you received an email. You can give to that in that link as well. I just want to encourage you, before you leave the building, before you pull out of the parking lot, let's give to the Bless offering. Let's see what God will do as a result of it. Let's stand together, grab a box on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you back next weekend. Thank you, guys.